And for this, we must go to the cross. And as we become cross bearers and Christ's cross is laid upon us, it kills the love of the world. It kills the desire for worldly things. And it gives us the things of the new man. Put on the new man after godliness and righteousness. Now, if you are not a Christian who lives near the cross, and you go to the cross every day in prayer and pleading the victory of God in your soul,
welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for being a part of our program here today. I hope that you will enjoy the message on consecration. We're going to Joshua chapter 5. We'll be looking at the command to circumcise. And we're talking here, of course, circumcision of the heart and how we need to be changed from the carnal into the spiritual, from the worldly into the heavenly, and to be given new grace, new power to live the Christian life. Let's hear a few words here in Joshua chapter 5. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Well, here is the first warning in this passage, and there is a need to be an obedient people in our service for God. And that's why we need the Bible. That's why we need to get into the book. That's why we need to take this word seriously, because God is going to judge us based on what we have done with the light of His truth. God is a spirit of truth, and He will use that light to shine into our hearts on that day. And so today I hope that you will stay tuned with us as we come here to Joshua chapter 5, to the pulpit ministry of our church, and that God will open your heart to His word, that there will be a definite consecration of your life to the Lord.
You see, our spiritual forefathers, you could go back to the reformers or the evangelists, but even our parents or grandparents, you know how they lived for Christ. Yes, they were strict. They were biblical. They were seeking to live godly. Churches were filled. They were filled in the mornings, they were filled in the evenings, and the prayer meetings were also well filled. Church life used to be the core, the center of life itself. People actually bought homes near the church or in the community that they could easily attend and attend frequently. There was commitment to the cause of Christ. Now, this circumcision goes way back to Abram. And as the people of God who came out of Egypt, they were to continue this commitment. And it was the way of a covenant people to show their loyalty to God, that they were Israel, and that they were in union and fellowship with God. It was meaningful because it meant that they were coming under the wings, under the care of God. And so this was a declaration of their commitment. Now, I think this is a good time for us to talk about commitment to the Lord's church today. And I can only talk about this congregation because this is where God has placed me, and this is where we welcome you to come and worship with us. Let me ask you, how long have you been a professing Christian? How long? But are you a committed, surrendered Christian? If someone was to look at your life with a pair of binoculars, would they come to the conclusion, boy, this person's really sold out for the Lord, to His Word, His kingdom, His church, to the ministry of the gospel, to prayer, to baptism, and membership in the church? Commitment. Commitment. Somehow it's not a popular word these days. Commitment. Consecration. Loyalty. Surrender. Obedience. It all comes up right here. Now, those who stood for God in past times had that commitment. They didn't play fast and loose with church life or with the cause of Christ. They were all out. Now, this circumcision was necessary because Egypt, or the fleshly love of Egypt, robbed them of liberty. This Gilgal, meaning rolling, was really the liberating of God's people. And you see, that's what consecration to the Lord does. That's what obedience to the Lord does. You become liberated. All the entanglement of Egypt, all the threads of the world, and all the claims of the world, and all the loyalty to the world, broken. And you are now set free as the Egyptians were out of Egypt. Let my people go that they might worship me. And this consecrated life, this committed life to Christ and His cause, is really the great mark of freedom. You see, the world is like weeds. They creep in on us. Sometimes you don't even realize that weed growing. But we're commanded over and over in the Bible and warned in the Bible to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't have it both ways. It's either or. How is it with you? Are you in love with the world? Or are you pressing on to have in your life the love of the Father? And then James goes on in chapter 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And those are the three famous things, aren't they? The lust of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life. Could be television. Could be Sunday sports. Could be the newest episode that's coming on in this season. The consecrated Christian will be set free from the world by this surrender. And then I go on, 1 John 2:17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. You see the conflict, you see the contrast between the world and the love of the Father. And if you're a child of grace, if you're being dealt with like Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, you've got a loyalty, a consecration of heart unto Him. Now let's come to the meaning of this consecration. This is the area of our lives that needs mortifying. Now, mortifying is a biblical word. You'll find it in Colossians 3. It means to put to death. Put to death the lusts of the flesh. And in case someone thinks, you know, I'm just going bonkers in the Old Testament here in Joshua 5, let's turn to do a few of these references in the New Testament. Ephesians 4:22, firstly. Ephesians 4:22. And you'll see that this is a list here that ye put off concerning the former conversation. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. These are commands, these are instructions to the New Testament Christian. This is our battle. This is our consecration. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, this might seem like strange language to you, the old man, the old nature, that unregenerate, carnal, sinful nature before you were a Christian. You're to put off. You can't love the same things anymore. You can't follow those things anymore and please the Lord. We're to put them off. We're to be done with them. And for this, we must go to the cross. And as we become cross bearers and Christ's cross is laid upon us, it kills the love of the world. It kills the desire for worldly things. And it gives us the things of the new man. Put on the new man, after godliness and righteousness. Now, if you are not a Christian who lives near the cross, and you go to the cross every day in prayer and pleading the victory of God in your soul, the power of the world will take over. The influence, the desires of the world will creep back in. And you will live less and less like a Christian and more like a worldling. Is that happening to you? Because as your pastor, I want you to live the victorious life. I want you to have God's power in your life. Because we learned that if the love of the world is in us, the love of the Father is not. It's either or. And so to put away the flesh means that we put God first in everything. To go through with God. Now, circumcision would not have helped these people carnally, physically, because it would have rendered thousands of men incapable of fighting until they were healed. And so, in physical terms, circumcision would not have helped them. But in covenant terms, if God would fight for them, which he did, as you know, later they went around that wall of Jericho seven days and then seven times, and God made the wall to fall, and God fought for them. And so this consecration of life, while physically it did nothing, yet spiritually it brought into their lives the very power of God. And that's what I want for each of us. I don't want to see you live a prayerless life all your days. I don't want to see you on the periphery of Christian service all your days. I don't want to see you haunted by the devil all your days. I don't want you to be living in the lull, going nowhere all your days. No, there's the command to consecrate ourselves and be fitted for battle. Oh, that's the meaning. And I'm getting to the meaning here. I want to get to the meat. I want to get to the inner issue of this. To have spiritual power requires consecration. Putting away the flesh, living near the cross, getting to that cross every day, and enjoying power in your life and in your soul. And so we wait on the Lord, and we place ourselves into his hands. We trust him, and that's living by faith. These Israelites, before they went to Jericho to do battle, they were not given a video to pre-run how it would all work out. They had no idea. But they learned to trust God, consecrate everything to him. And of course, God fought for them. So much so over the years to come, as they claimed the land and the promised land of Canaan, that the heathen said that the God of Israel was the God of the hills, because there was a whole series of battles that took place on hills. And they came to the theory that if we fought Israel in the valleys, that they would lose, because their God was the God of the hills. The God of Israel helped them so frequently, and they knew his help in battle, that even the heathen knew that they had the power and blessing of God. Such was that continuous help. That's the meaning. The Lord gives help to his people, but he helps those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who enter into his courts, and who consecrate their lives to him. Now, in closing, I'm going to look at the timing of the consecration. Because after 40 years of neglect, that seems a long time, 40 years of neglect, and we might say, oh, it's too late for me now. I've neglected the things of God for so long. God could never bring me into the place of blessing. Now, just leave it. No. 40 years of neglect, and still they were brought back into the place of blessing. Now, what have you neglected? I hope I'm not speaking to someone here and you're neglecting salvation, to have Christ in your heart as your Savior. Maybe someone is neglecting baptism, neglecting church membership, service in the church, neglecting witnessing. I could draw up a list for you. But if you're living a life of neglect to the things that God has commanded, the means of grace, and all those things are God's commands to his people. And I'll list them again for you. Baptism, communion, I'll add that one in, communion. Church membership, or at least striving toward church membership so that you are a part of the body serving the head. Then you are a candidate for office in the church, and we need deacons. One day more elders. We need committed Christians to serve in this local congregation. We need God's people to be consecrated and fit for service, fit for battle. We need to hear Christians praying, "Use me, Lord, use my life. Take me as a vessel. I'm only clay, but Lord, use me." We need to hear those cries in the church. Then this also was at the time of entering the promised land. To be in Gilgal on the right side of the Jordan was the best of times, but also the worst of times for Israel, because they were in the land, but they were now more vulnerable than ever before, because the enemies were all around them, staring them in the face. They were looking on. Their scouts were watching Israel's every move. And they were planning, the war drums were beating. How are we going to defeat these Israelites? And they needed to be fitted for battle. And then that first battle, Jericho. Hey, we're learning about the way to victory. That's what Joshua is about. This is why this book thrilled my heart. This is the way to victory. And when we are in the place of commitment, consecration to God, He will fight for us. Now, there's an interesting little event in verse 13 where the Lord appears to Joshua with a sword in his hand. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" This is a pre-incarnate theophany of Christ, and he is come to meet with Joshua. And what do you know? He's for Joshua. That's a good thing. This would have turned very differently if he had announced, "I'm against you." But Joshua dropped to his knees and he worshiped and he asked at the end of verse 14 the question that you and I should be asking: "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" What's the word for me? What's God's message for me? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Lose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." This is not a worldly place. This is not an emergent situation where you merge the world with the church. This was holy ground. And Joshua did so. He recognized to meet with God was a fearful thing. Put off his shoe and recognized the place was holy. I think, brothers and sisters, we've lost sight of that holiness of the one we're serving, haven't we? I think we have to confess that. How shall we get the victory against the world? How shall the present-day New Testament Bible Church in Canada fight for Christ? By holiness, holy living, consecration. Applying the cross to our lives constantly. We are cross-carrying Christians. You've talked about carrying members of something. Well, we are cross-bearing Christians. And as you plead the victory of Calvary in your life, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the ways of the world will be weakened. I'm not going to say they will never be our enemy in this world again. We will fight those enemies all our days on earth. And even when the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan for years to come, there were still more battles to fight. And the Christian church on earth will always have a battle to fight until Christ comes. But it's a matter between battling and surrendering. And I say today, no surrender. Will you say that in your heart, no surrender?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and as in these past days this week, we have been looking at the inspiration of the Bible. Here is a poem inside Dr. Paisley's book on Christian foundations, and then the title is, Will the Old Book Stand? Will the old book stand when the higher critics state that grave errors are discovered on its page? Will it save the sinful soul? Will it make the wounded whole? Will its glorious truth abide from age to age? Will its message still abide when the scientists decide that its record of creation is untrue? Tell us the ascent of man by its evolution's plan. Will its principles the sinful heart renew? When in language wondrous fair, Christian scientists declare that there is no evil, only mortal mind. When mental treatment fails and seeming death prevails, may we in the Bible consolation find. When infidels parade the mistakes which Moses made, when the truth of revelation they deny, will the Ten Commandments still the demands of justice fill? Will its word support us when we come to die? Yes, the word of God shall stand, though sealed on every hand. Its foundations are eternally secure. It will bear the critic's test and the idle scoffer's jest. Its saving truth forever shall endure. And praise God, we have a book in our hands, and I pray that it will be in our hearts, a word that is eternal, everlasting, uncompromising, faithful from the heart of a good and gracious God. Remember, this is God's love letter to you. And as you read the Bible, you will find His promises, promises of mercy, salvation, peace, and eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the Bible today, and may its word be a saving word within your soul. Stay tuned now as we come to our closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.